Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Samaches, and we're holding at the two dots, approximately a third down the Omid, where the Gemara begins. Me'ema say metamin begodim. The Torah tells us about the people that took out the parvis soir out from the Beis Hamikdash, out to the Mokim Shefa Chadeshen, the place where the parvis soir were burned, that those people, they become Tameh, as well as their begotten become Tameh. And our Mishnah had a machloikis exactly when does that happen? In other words, when does that Tumah get triggered? If you look at the Mishnah back on Samach Zayin Amid Beis, right towards the bottom of the Amid, we had a machloikis who may aim aside the Tamen begotten. At what point do they become Tameh? Mishiyetsu chut l'chaymes azara. Mishiyotsu chut l'chaymes azara. When they've left the Chaymes Azara, in other words, until that point, the Sora Mishtaleach was waiting there anxiously to be taken away by the... I'm sorry. Give me a chance. Until this point, the Parvis Soir were there in the Beis HaMikdash. They were... the Kohen Gadol had taken out the Emurim, and now they put them on these maklois, on these two, or moitois, Rashi calls them, long poles, and now they're being transported out of the Azara. At this point, as soon as the people that are carrying it go outside the Azara, boom, they all become Tomei and Tumas Begodim. Even though from where they are until the Mokoim, where the Parvis Soir are going to be burned, this is still a nice trip until they get there. Nevertheless, Tumas Begodim is triggered immediately as soon as they leave the Chaymes Wazar. No. Only until the Parvis Soir become consumed in fire. At that point, then there's a din of Tumas Begodim. But until then, there's no din of Tumas Begodim. Now, where exactly does it say all about this Tumas Begodim in the first place? So, once again, if you look back in Parshas Achri Mois, it says, V'hasoyref oisam, yechabes begodov, v'rochatz es besorei b'moyim, v'achri chayin yovei el hamachne. So the Hasoyref oisam, the one that burns the Parvis Soir, he has a din not only rochatz es psori b'moyim, that he has to go to the mikveh, but even yechabes begodov, also the begodim also have to go to the mikveh. He's totally tamei in that sense, and after that, later on, he'll be able to return to the mach. So this is the din of tumas begodim. The only question is, when is that triggered? Machlekes. Zok Yimar. Tan Rabban. Now we're going to focus initially on where, in fact, does one burn the par v'soyer. All it says in the Torah is Yoytzi el michutz lamachane v'sorfu. We have the benefit of the Torah or Hasholem. We are on Samach Chesamrav.
Which spot are they?
We're starting from here, from the two dots.
Okay.
No problem. And now we're focusing on the psukim, and you should have the psukim somewhere down here. So the pasuk says, "V'yes oyer hapor, v'yes kol b'sorei, al roishoy v'al kro v'kirbay ufirshoy." The entire par from top to bottom. Only thing missing is the aymurin that are on the mizbeach or will be put on the mizbeach. V'hoytzias kol hapor, and you take that entire par el michutz la'machne, outside the machne, el mokon tor, el shefech hadeshen, v'sorof oisei al itzim bo'esh al shefech hadeshen yisarif. You got to go and burn the par michutz la'machne. Now, michutz la'machne doesn't really tell us all that much, and that's why the Gemara is going to explore what is the location of that michutz la'machne. It's Tanur Ban, yoisei michutz la'machne v'sorfu. You got to burn it. Lahalon over there atanois lehem sholish machnois. V'kan atanois lehem machna achas. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us what the over there means, but we're going to see in another 3-4 lines. And there's a fairly lengthy Rashi that explains the whole background over here. But we have 3 psukim. One pasuk is by the Par Kohen HaMashiach. Par Kohen HaMashiach, as you know, means the Kohen Gadol who is Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. If he made a mistake in an Aveira Sheyesh Beikores, and he has to go and bring his own Karm Chatos, he doesn't bring a Kizbo Seira like a commoner, but he brings a Par Kohen HaMashiach. Similarly, if Gans Klal Yisrael, Rav of Klal Yisrael, sin the heir based on a faulty psak of the Bezna Godoy, and the heir in a mitzvah which involves the din of Kareis, Once again, they don't bring individual chatois. It's a par helam davar shel tzibur. The ganz klal yisrael brings such a par. In each case, both by the par yom kippurim and the par helam davar shel tzibur, Torah tells us that these are among the parim hanisrafim, and they go michutz lemachna. It says el michutz lemachna once by the par koinim shiach, one by the par helam davar shel tzibur, and then it says a third time when they have the halacha of the hitzuas hadeshin. On a daily basis, not daily basis. Daily basis, you had the Trumas Deshen. When there was an accumulation of Deshen, and there was a lot, you had to go and take it outside Mechutz L'machana, and there too the Torah says, B'hoitzi oisel Mechutz L'machana. So we learn from those three Mechutz L'machanas that when you send out the Purim HaNisrafim, the Seirim HaNisrafim for burning, you send them Chutz L'sholosh machnois. What's the taich of sholosh machnois? Rashi says that the first machna means leaving the azara. That's the machna shchina. Number two is leaving the har habayis. That's considered to be the machna levia. And then you leave Yerushalayim. That's the third machna. So you can only burn the par the soir hanisrofim where as you leave after you leave Yerushalayim. Good. So in our case, however, when we're talking about the par v'sor of Yom Kippur, it only says the word Michutz L'machana once. And therefore the Gemara is telling us, L'halon over there by the other three, meaning by the par Helm Dov Shul Tzibur, and the par Koyin Mashiach. And we also learn the same halacha applies to the Seiri Avodah Zarah, where you're supposed to go and burn them Michutz L'machana, L'halon atonois l'hem sholosh machnas, based on the combination of the various psukim, we add them all up together and we say we take them chutz sholosh machnas outside Yerushalayim. The Kan over here, by the par and the soil of Yom Kippur, atonois l'hem machna achas, the Torah says, just the words machna achas. And came lom nemar michutz lamachne. Why taka does the Torah employ this michutz lamachne? Now, what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is because Rashi brings that by the par koinu mashiach and the par helm dov shel tzibur, there is a pasuk that says vasisa lapar kasher sisa lapar achatos ken yosalai. Do for this par like you did for the other par. And in fact, that pasuk would seem to be unnecessary because the Torah goes through the entire procedure by the par Helam Dovah Shul Tzibur, repeating almost word for word what it said by the par Koyin HaMashiach. So what does it have to say, Nochemol, go and do to this par like you did to the other par? And therefore that comes to be Meramis and to include all to the par Yom HaKippurim, that they have the same rule, again, the three machnois. If there's a loch of three machnois, why does the Torah over here have to say, Bahoitzi es kol hapor el michutz lamachne, just rely on the fact that it is hukish to the others. Exeir shava par to the par helm dov shel tzibur, the par koyin mashiach. The reason why the Torah tells us here machna achas and kein lo menem el michutz lamachne lo yimaloch kimen shiyotze chutz lamachna achas metamim begodim. So when the Torah says yoytze michutz lamachne, is not to tell us the location. The location I could have learned already from the others. Par Helm Dov Shul Tzibur, Par Koyin Mashiach. Sira Boi Dezorah. The Machna Achas will tell you when the Tumah is triggered in the people that are carrying the Par Vesor and they're carrying it outside. Now mind you, the Torah doesn't say that the carriers get Tumah. It's Vasoyrif Oysam. It's those that are the ones that burn it. But since the people that are carrying are assumed to be the people that are also going to burn, they're going to do from A to Z, nuts to bolts, that's the assumption. Therefore, the Tumas Begadim already attaches as soon as they leave the Machna Achas, which is the Choymas Ho'azar. So as they leave the Shar Niknar, perhaps after they leave the Ezras Noshim, but once they leave, they're out of the first Machna, and then they have a din of Tumah.
They don't burn the Yom Kippur itself, though, do they? I mean, they bring this Yom Kippur?
The Parvasar? Of course they bring Yom Kippur.
This is part of the Avodah.
Part of the Avodah.
It's not like because the Hector Chalom Ve'Evarim is kosher Kol Laila, so at the end of it, they can wait until Motzi Yom Kippur.
But that's also done on Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Now you told me so convincingly that it's a din of three machnois by all those others. Where does it say the three machnas? The sign it says in the Braisa. Bahoitzi es kol hapor. Now where does it say bahoitzi es kol hapor? That's the pasuk that we've just been reading now. The pasuk we have by Yom Kippur, bahoitzi es kol hapor. Now,
bahoitzi es kol hapor, is it by Yom Kippur or is it by...
The way it's written... I'm sorry. Vayitzi Yizkor L'Par is a par, is a pasuk which is written by the Par Kohen HaMashiach. Thank you. Par Kohen HaMashiach. Now it just says in the pasuk, Vayitzi Yizkor L'Par El Michutz L'Machne. It doesn't say in this pasuk, Chutz L'Sholish Machnes. But the Gemara now adds these words, Vayitzi Yizkor L'Par, Chutz L'Sholish Machnes. Vayitzi, how do you know? Atoim Chutz L'Sholish Machnes. Oyeine El Chutz L'Machne Achas, which is of course the simple interpretation of the pasuk, Vayitzi Yizkor L'Par, El Michutz L'Machne, one Machne. Kishu Oyim Par Ho Eider, El Michutz L'Machne. The pasuk that we quoted until now was the Par Koyin HaMashiach. Now we're talking about the Par Ho Eider. There it also says, El Michutz L'Machne. Shein Tam Aloymar, I don't really need that El Michutz L'Machne, Shekvar Nemar, because it says, in the parasha of the Par Helen Dovushel Tzibur, the Saraf Oisei, burn this one, Kasha Saraf Eisa Par HaRishai, like you burn the earlier one. What's the earlier one? The Par Koyin HaMashiach. Is a bazoi umatamalei mechutz l'machna. So what do I need a second pasuk el mechutz l'machna? I already have my pasuk by the par koyin mashiach b'hoitzi es kol hapar mechutz l'machna. So a bazoi, the same thing should apply to the par helm davshul tzibur v'saraf oisei kasher saraf umatamalei mechutz l'machna. Why does it repeat it a second time? Litin l'machna shniyah, to tell you that you take it out not chutz l'machna achas, but chutz l'shtei machnes. Ukshu oime mechutz l'machna b'deshen, by the hoitzua sadeshen that they do whenever there's an accumulation of ash on the mizbech. She'ein tam aloimar, there you do not need the mechutz l'machna. Where's that mechutz l'machna? That's number 5 of our Torah Or HaSholim. Ufashet es begodim, beginning of Parshas Tzav. Ufashet es begodim, v'lovish begodim achir, v'hoitzi es sadeshen mechutz l'machna el mokim tohar. You go and take the deshen mechutz l'machna. Ein tam aloimar, you don't need that chutz l'machna b'deshen. Why don't you need it? Shekvar nemar el shefach hadeshen. Where does it say el shefach hadeshen? That says by the Par Koyin HaMashiach. Where does it say by Karen Par Koyin HaMashiach? Bahoitzi eskolapor el michutz l'machne el mokim tohor el shefach hadeshen. Shefach hadeshen means that place which has already been set aside for the pouring out of the deshen, meaning whenever there's an accumulation on the mizbech. Oh, so I know that there's a place called the shefach hadeshen, and that is michutz l'machne. So what do I need the shefach hadeshen? What do I need the michutz l'machne over here? By the hoitzuas hadeshen, I know already. So Gemara, ten machne shlishi, to tell you that there are 3 machnois all together. Like we said at the beginning, 3 machnois for purposes of burning the par koyin hamashiach, the par helam dovishal tzibur, and Rashi adds the seire avoydazar. All 3 of them you go and burn chutz l'sholosh machnois by the fact that we have these 3 michutz l'machnes which we just enumerated. Reb Shimon. Now Reb Shimon disagrees. Where do we find Reb Shimon disagreeing? Back in our Mishnah. Because we just got finished saying Nochbol. Quick summary. We have 3 Mechutz L'Machnes by the Par Helam Dovishul Tzibur, by the Par Koyin HaMashiach, and by Yitzur Sadeshen, to tell you that the burning has to take place Chutz L'Sholish Machnes. By Unz, by the din of the Par V'Sor of Yom Kippur, and it just says 1 Michutz L'Machne. I don't even need that Michutz L'Machne because I can learn it par from the Par Helam Dovishul Tzibur, Par Koyin HaMashiach, and therefore I don't need a separate Michutz L'Machne. What does that Michutz L'Machne tell you? That when is the din of Tvilas Odom and Tvilas Begodim, when does that take place? As soon as you leave the first Machne. But Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon says Mishiyotis or Beruba. That means only after you've reached the third machne, in other words, Mechutz the third machne, and you've actually started burning it, and in fact, its roiv of the animal is being consumed in the fire. So this might take another hour later, 2 hours later, depending on how long it takes them to carry it and burn it and all the rest. So Ibazoi, what does Reb Shimon do with this Hay Mechutz l'machne, my Ovidle? What does he do with the extra unnecessary mechutzla
machne to a boiler the gnesani need it for the following price reblezo oimen nemer kan michutz machne nemer alon michutz machne makan chutz lesholish machnois af lalon chutz lesholish machnois. He needs to tell you, number one, since I'm learning one from the other, just like by the par helen dovishal siba par koina mashiach and the seed of the zora, it's all chutz lesholish machnois. Same thing applies to the par besara is chutz lesholish machnois umal alon bin mizrocha shel yur Shalayim. I'm sorry. Thank you. Reb Lezer says over here, Nemar kan michutz lamachne. Where is this michutz lamachne? This is in this week's parsha, the parsha Paradua. What do I need that michutz lamachne for? That is also chutz lisholesh machnes. So what do I need the michutz lamachne of the Paraduma to go and tell you? Number one, just like the others, when it says chutz lamachne means all three. Here, michutz lamachne means all three, and just like mal alon b'mizrach Yerushalayim, just like by the Pora Aduma, it's mizrach Yerushalayim, meaning on the Har Hazeis and the Har Mishcha, which is facing the Beis Hamikdash, but it's outside of Yerushalayim technically. Today, it's probably part of the borders of Jerusalem, but in terms of the Torah, it's outside the Yerushalayim, and mal alon, it's on the mizrach side of Yerushalayim. How do I know it's on the mizrach side of Yerushalayim? Because it says that the person who is sprinkling the blood from the Paraduma in the direction of the Heichal, it says he stands at El Noichach Pnei Oil Moed. And we know that Pnei Oil Moed was to the west of where that person is standing. So he's standing to the east. Now he's standing in the place of the Marocha of the Paraduma. It's Malalam, Mizrach Yerushalayim, Afkan, the same thing over here. Meaning when we take out the par v'soir chutz l'sholish machnois, where is that going to take place? From Mizrach Yerushalayim on the eastern side of Yerushalayim. So we don't go to the west or to the north, we go to the east of Yerushalayim. This is what Reb Shimon learns from Michus HaMachne, not Legabi the Din of Tumas Begodim, but the location of the Chutz L'Sholish Machnes. Rabbanan, Heichasorfu, where do they hold this Reifa took place? They apparently are not going to learn Michus HaMachne, Michus HaMachne from Pora Aduma like Reb Shimon. Say things as Yimor,
Kidatai. They need it for the Tumas Begodim.
Number one, but they also want to know the location.
Right.
Where is the Mechutz L'machna? So where do we know that from? Kidasanya, Heichon Nisrofen, where did the Chachamim hold it was burned? Let's find a Yerushalayim. But we don't have a Pasuk for that, so how do we know something Yerushalayim? So the top Rashi tells us, since it's called a Chatos, and a Chatos is the
Bitzofon,
meaning a regular Karm Chatos, in other words, Kachi Kodeshim. It's the tzofin of the Hazara. Even over here, we're not talking about the tzofin of the Hazara, we're talking about tzofin of Yerushalayim. It's a little bit of a stretch, if you will, because we're talking about two different types of tzofin. But nevertheless, since the Torah calls it a chatas, and a chatas, like all kachi kudishim, you shecht it with tzofin of Hazara, let's foinoy shel mizbeach, as Mendy says. So the same thing applies here too. When we're going to burn the par of the Hazara, it's going to be let's foinoy shel Yerushalayim, but chutz l'sholish machnois, like we said before, like the other Purim and Seir. Rabbi Yossi Oimer. Okay, so with this we basically covered the Machloikis in our Mishnah, where the Tanakhama says you have Tumas Begodim Chutz L'Choymes Azorah. When does Chutz L'Choymes Azorah occur? Right after they take the Par V'Sor and they cart it out of the Beis Hamikdash. I learned that from the extra Mechutz L'Machne, Machne Achas, already Tomei. But according to Shimon, no, it's Dafka after it's fully burning Yotis Ur Beruvan. After all, it says in the pasuk, "Ba'asoyif oisam yichabes begodim." So the kibbutz begodim only attaches, only is triggered at the time of the soyif oisam. Oh, so how does he know? What does he do in Mechutz L'Machne? I tell you, Tzvoinish. He tells you, Mizrachish Yerushalayim. He learned it from Paraduma, and here we learn Tzvoinish Yerushalayim. We learn it from all Karbonis Kodesh Kudishim, and specifically the Karm Chatos, because this is called Paras Chatos, therefore the din of Tzvoinah.
So yeah. Rav Shimon, if the pasuk says Hasoreif is Tomei in these Kibbutz Begodim,
yeah.
Why are the traders, the carriers of this, why are they Tomei Tumas Begodim? If Rav Shimon is being so careful,
according to him, they would not be.
Only the Soreif. So the people on the poles carrying.
Hold your question. Another moment, you'll see the Gemara is going to address it. And Miatzeshem, Rav Yossi Oimer. Now Rabbi Yossi adds another knetch, another wrinkle that we didn't talk about until now. Abeis Hadesh and Nisrafim. What does that mean, Abeis Hadesh? After all, it says in the Pasuk, you're supposed to burn it al Shefa Hadeshin. What is he trying to tell us? It says Rabbi Yossi that you cannot inaugurate or initiate a brand new place for burning the Parvis. So here, it's got to be a place where there's already pre-existing Dashen from the Haitzoas Hadeshin that was done from time to time when you had an accumulation of ash on the Mizbech. Once you've designated a place for the Shefa Chadeshen, now it can be used for the Parvisur of Yom Kippur. So, look at the Rashi, Abeis Hadeshen, Tap Rashi, Tzorch Sheyaktim, Bisham Deshen Mizbech, before you want to burn the Parvisur, you have to have a place for the Deshen. Sheinikra Koinim Lechein, it should have a big sign and say, Reboisai, this is the Mokim Shefa Chadeshen. B'chal Tanakam Loi Tzorch. The Gemara is going to be medayik from now that only this man, the Yom Rabbi Yossi L'Chayra, requires this, and not that we never talked about this until now. But this is a requirement according to Rabbi Yossi. So Omer Rava, Man Tana De Palagalei Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi and does not require that this place have deshen from before, it's Rabbi Lezim Ben Yaakov. Who's Rabbi Lezim Ben Yaakov? The Sanya. We have a machlokes. We're talking about whether or not you require that this place be a based Hadeshen or not. So the others did not address the issue. We're going to find now two mandiyama that do address this issue. One is going to be the mandiyama that we just had now, and the Aluvir of Lezim and Yaakov. Who are the two Tanoim? The Sani we learned in the Brice, a fourth line. It says in the Pasuk, El Shefech Hadeshen Yisorev Shehei Lisham Deshen. Shefa Chadeshen suggests that the mokum that you're using for burning the Parim and Esrafim, Seir and Esrafim, has to have Deshen already from before. Okay, so this is consistent with Rabbi Yossi that we just had now at the top of the Amid, a base of Deshen and Esrafim. Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov says, Shehei Mekoimoy Meshupach, the Lashon of Shefa Chadeshen doesn't necessarily mean that there is Deshen there from before. Rather, it's telling us that it should be a slopy or slanty area. That when you dump the deshen, and for that matter, when you're going to cart out and burn the parvisar, it shouldn't be on flat land, it should be on a land where it's meshupach, at an angle on a slope. Okay? So now the Gemara assumes at this point that Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov, since he doesn't require like the Tanakama, that there be pre-existing deshen. Because he doesn't learn shefach deshen, that deshen was already poured out over here. But rather he learns in Mekayim Meshupach, then L'Chayr Reb Lezim Yaakov disagrees with the Tanakama. And he doesn't require the deshen. So that's how Rava understands it. That's why Rava said, Man Tana D'Pali Galei, it's Reb Lezim Yaakov. Omli Abayi said, No Nishkaraya! Sekon Zayin, the Reb Lezim Yaakov agrees 1,000% with Rabbi Yossi that this mokum has to have pre-existing deshen. Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov says, but I have another requirement, because shefach deshen doesn't only mean that you poured out deshen previously, it also means that it's got to be a mokum mishupach, so that when you pour out the deshen, then it slopes down. It doesn't just remain flat on the flat surface. It goes down as if you're on a slopy mountain or hill, and it slopes down and it'll fall down. Ah, so kun zayin l'kabit halacha that there's a previous, pre-existing makam adashin could be everybody agrees. Rabbi Lezim Yaakov is only adding a further wrinkle, a further requirement that it be at a slant on a slope. So, bottom line is, Abai says, Rabbi, you have no right to this. A machloikus, could be everybody agrees that there should be deshen there from before.
Well, according to Rabbanan, yes, Tzafon. Where do you have deshen Tzafon? One, you have Rabbi, you have a Paradum, okay, you have deshen there.
Mm-hmm.
You have deshen based Estrefa, you have deshen.
We only know clearly the location by Paradum is to the Mizrach side, okay. And we know that Reb Shimon learns that the Rabbanan learned that the Mokim of the Srefas Paradisar was to the Tzafon side. As far as where the location of the Shefach HaDeshen, meaning the Deshen that was poured out from the Mizbeach, doesn't say Befeish. It says Amachot Lamachna. So it could very well be that according to that Mandiyama, that was also Litzvayda. Exactly. It's Tanaban. So now we're going to address Barry's issue in greater detail. It says in the Pasuk, Vahasoyref Oysam Yechabis Begod Verochet Psorim Amoy. What is deemed to be the Soref? So not everybody that participates in the Sreifa has a din of Tumas Begotten. It's Tanraban. Vahasoyref, the soyrev is metame begadim. What's the definition of soyrev? We're going to see in another two lines. But just take it for granted, the person who burns it, metame begadim. But not the one that lights the match, the one that lights the fire. In other words, bring the bar of the soyer to the mokim marocho or the mokim shefa chadeshin where it's going to be burned. There's somebody that's got to light the fire, either by taking out matches or rubbing two pieces of wood or two stones together. Somebody has to start the fire. He does not have a din of tumas begotten. Why not? Because it says vasoyref oisam. Oisam means the animals themselves. And therefore, even though the others are doing a great job to be misayeya, to assist and to begin and to trigger, all's good. However, it's not a soyref oisam. It's got to be the ones that burn the actual harvest oil. So if all you're doing is you're lighting the match, you're putting on the fire, that's very nice, you get a lot of credit for it, but there's no tumas begotten. Not even the person who goes and sets up the maracha. In other words, you don't just burn it on the floor. You have to go and put together logs and probably put stones around it, whatever. Like when you make a bonfire. And so therefore, whoever is besad the maracha, shkoyach, they do a beautiful hachonos, we need them, but they don't have a din of tumas begodim because they're not being the soyrif. So what's the definition of sreifa? Ve'izeu ha-sreifa. Ze ha-mesayeya b'shah sreifa, the one that helps out at the time of the sreifa itself. In other words, somebody has put on the fire, somebody else was first mesad the marocha, then the person put on the fire, then we put the parvisar on it, and we have all the logs and all the rest, and it's going to go and take a while until the parvisar are going to be burned to a crisp. So, what does somebody have to do? Somebody has to mesayeya. How is he mesayeya? He adds a log from time to time. He takes a pitchfork and picks up the pieces. After all, remember we said yesterday, benita choysel and tzached, that you do have to go and cut it. You don't do hefshit, but you do have to cut the pieces. So somebody's going to take a pitchfork and turn the piece over to the other side. Somebody's going to add another log. Somebody's going to add another couple of matches. In other words, whoever is soyrev mesayeya b'shas reifa to cause these par v'soyer to go and be burnt. But it's got to be like Reb Shimon said in the Mishnah, shiyotas ben ha'or. They are helping so that the roiv of this animal is now consumed. So even those people that are being mesayeya at the beginning also don't get the title of a soyrev. It's only the b'shas reif. If you look at Rashi, ha-soyrev, Rashi is about 8 lines from the top of the Omud, ha-soyrev ha-mis'asik b'tzorchei tzreifosan be'gufon, in the parvisor themselves. Tichsev oisam, kigoin ha-mesayeya b'shas reif. V'haitan is like Reb Shimon, tein metam begodem achi yutzis or beruba. Yutzis behen or. So even though you have a person who lit the matches, you have the person who misad the marocha, you have the person that put the parvisar on the marocha, you have the person that saw to it that the sreifa should start nicely and begin to burn, all of that is beautiful, but the only one that is din of tumas begodim is the person who is misayeya b'shas sreifa to cause this animal, these animals to be yutzas pohena, or, and like the Mishnah said, beruba. And therefore, those that are carting it, are carrying it, all of them deserve special prizes, special credit, but they do not have a din of tumas begotten.
What's the assistance that he's doing?
The assistance that he's doing is that those nisachim, those slices, are in the fire, and he says to himself, it's taking so long. He takes a pitchfork and he turns it over. Or he goes and takes logs, and he throws them into the fire so that the fire should be even that much stronger and that it should burn even more greatly. Or he sees that one of the slices is starting to fall away. He pushes it back in. Anybody that causes that these nisachim, these slices of the parvisar, to burn properly, and once we've hit that point of yotzaar barub, baroiv, the roiv of it is now already flaming and consumed by the flames, then he has the din of Thomas Begotten.
Does it matter what kind of logs we use?
There's no real special requirements. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about that they try to use logs that are easily flammable, that you can easily burn, because there are different types of wood. Some wood, you know, is stubborn. Some wood is a little bit easier. So they try to take, I believe the Gemara, if I'm saying Atzizayis, I believe, is considered to be flammable. So they would take those types of logs, which are more easily burnable. Says the Gemara, Yochel Afmi Shnasu Eifer.
Take it before Tuba'av.
Right, to make sure it doesn't worm it, especially right. Dries out. It's not worming.
They plant the special trees that they had. Just
no worm in it. Yeah.
Then they plant special trees in the certain area.
I'm not aware of that. It could be. Could be. I'm not aware of it. Usually, it says the Atzi Zayas are usually very good, very flammable.
And we learned that 160th. So if there is more logs than the para.
Yeah.
There's more ashes of the logs than the sarah.
Oh, so I'm glad that you're talking about the ashes, because that's the next piece. So yochel af mishenasu efer metamin begodim. What happens if this parvasor, these parvasor have been now burning now for the last hour or two, and they did such a wonderful, wonderful job that they're really now ash, and someone is helping out with the ash. The ash is blowing away, so he's pushing it back in to keep it all together, and he's also mixing and mashing, pushing a pitchfork to keep the deshin and the efer together. So maybe that person is also has a din of tumas begodim. Tamaloimar oisam. That's v'hasoyref oisam. Oisam means oisam etam begodim. V'loy mishnasu efer etam begodim. Only when they're still intact, that they're still, you can still see the flesh, not when it's already so burned that it's already turned and converted into efer. No longer a din of tumas begodim. The Reb Elazar Reb Shimon says something which is almost identical. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Omer, hapar mitame, the par as well as the soyer, they are mitame. But nitzach abasar, nitzach abasar means when the basar has decomposed. Einoy mitame begodim, no longer. So now lechoyra, the decomposition of the basar, which is of course resulting from this fire, doesn't that sound like when it's turning into aper? It's turning into ash. So if that's the case, so what's the machlokes? Aren't they both saying the same thing? If the fire has converted the parvisoyer into, if you will, like almost charucha means like charcoal, that it's already black as black can be. For those of you that have ever toasted bread inside a toaster and have left it there a little bit too long, and you see it's turned to a black mass, which would be appropriate for the Juneteenth to go and celebrate. But anyway, so the point is that it is as, anyway,
it's a liberal shul.
That's why we're talking about it. Anyway, so it's exactly. So it is black as black can be, but it has not turned from the black into the white ash. And so therefore, says Imar, according to the laws of Reb Shimon, this is totally decomposed. You don't see any meat left. You don't see any bones left. It's all one black mass like charcoal. However, from the charcoal, it has not developed yet into efer. So according to the laws of Reb Shimon, since it's already decomposed to the point that it's already charucha, no longer metame. According to the Tanakhama of this brisa, since it hasn't become ash yet, it still is metame. It's all how you define the word oisam when the parvisor is still around. When is it no longer around? Is it at the point of charucha it's no longer around, like the blood of Shimon, or is it only subsequently when it becomes efer, then it's no longer around? If you look at the Rashi right before the Mishnah, the Shavya Charucha says Rashi that the nitach abasan, nitach means that it's decomposed. The efer miyuleh, but it has not reached the point of efer yet. It's still called oisam until it becomes ash, even though it's black as can be. It's charucha. Halach is it still metame because blood of Shimon shavi charucha lemetame. The parmik it shouldn't. Nobody recognizes this as a parvisor anymore. It's just one big black charcoal form. Therefore, no look. On to the next Mishnah. So this addresses your question that according to Reb Shimon and according to the other Tanna brothers of Reb Shimon, the only time it would have a din of tumas begodim is at the fire stage, not the carriers chutz l'chemis hazara, and therefore they disagree with the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Look, the Mishnah amru loy v'koyin gadol higia so'ir l'midbar. Now we're returning Nochamu to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to continue doing any of the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash until he hears that the so'ir. Now there we are now returning to the so'ir hamishtaleach, and the so'ir hamishtaleach, as you know, has to go all the way down to the tzuk, to the cliff. We learned yesterday in the Mishnah, and we learned the Brice, and the Brice had a three-way machloik, is exactly how far it was. But in Mishnah we had a Meir that said it's 12 mil away. So when that Soir reaches the Tzuk, then the Kohen Gadol can continue doing the Avodah inside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the question is, Uminayin hoyoyodim sheikiya solamidbar. After all, it's Yom Kippur. You can't call on the telephone. You can't send emails or texts. How does the Kohen Gadol know that the Sor has reached the Midbar, they should continue the Avodah? So the Gemara tells us three different methods. The first method is Tirchois Hoyu Oisim, Omeinifin Besudrin, Vyoidim Shegiya Sala Midbar. Tirchois means special watchmen, special people that were appointed for this particular task. And this task was to go and wave Sudrin, equivalent to waving flags today. Sudra actually is more like a handkerchief or a shawl, but you get the idea that they are waving things. So what happened was you had, doesn't tell us how many people, perhaps they had 50, maybe 100, whatever the number of people they needed, starting from the tzuk, from the cliff. As soon as the ish-iti pushed the sawyer over the cliff, then the first dirchois person would start waving his flag. As soon as he waved his, then the next guy, who's another 100 feet away, 200 feet away, whatever it is, he would start waving his, and so on and so forth, until the final guy, who is next to the base of Migdash, he's waving, and then the Gaboim presumably would say to the Kohen Gadol, oh, do you see? You see the wavings? Or they would tell him, we just saw the wavings. We know for sure that the Sor has reached the Tzuk out in the Midbar. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need that lengthy process. You don't have to wait until it reaches the Tzuk. All you have to do is wait until it leaves Yerushalayim, and that's a 3 mil type of thing. So Rashi explains, the Beis Chidudoy means the Mokem HaMidbar, and the beginning of the Midbar, where we're eventually going to reach the cliff. As you remember, we had in the Gemara yesterday, we had the Pasuk that told us that the Eretz Zera, which means that cliff, was also the Midbar. What was the Pasuk? The Nosa HaSoyer Olav Eskol Avoinoisam El Eretz Gezera V'shilach Es HaSoyer BaMidbar. So the Eretz Gezera is referring to that cliff, that's the Chatucha, that the mountain is not a slopy mountain, but it's a cliff that, God forbid, someone goes over it, such as the Sar Mishtaleach, goes straight down, no sloping involved. So where was that? That wasn't in civilization, that was out in the Midbar, out in the wilderness, out in the desert. So how long was it from the Beis HaMikdash until you got to the Midbar, or at least from Yerushalayim until you got to the Midbar? That was 3 mil. How do you measure the 3 mil? Says the Mishnah, Holchen mil, v'choizen mil, v'shoyin kidei mil, v'yoidin sheyigia so'il ha-midbar. Aha. Remember we had yesterday in the Mishnah that the Yakira Yerushalayim would go, the Chashuvim of Yerushalayim would go and escort the Ish-Iti 1 mil from Yerushalayim till the first Sukkah. And then from the first Sukkah to the next Sukkah, and the third Sukkah, and the fourth, and the fifth. But we're not talking about the second and third, we're only talking about till the first Sukkah, that the Yakira Yerushalayim went from Yerushalayim till the first Sukkah, and that was 1 mil altogether. Okay, and then they said to the Ish-Iti, Zaymet Sliach, Agut Yomtif, Agut Yor, and they let him continue on his mission towards the Tzuk. What did those people from Yerushalayim do? They returned home. Those that had gone from Yerushalayim to Sukkah Aleph now went from Sukkah Aleph back home. Since it's 1 mil going, it's also 1 mil coming, so you have 2 mil altogether. And then they would wait around for another mil. The Rishash says, how were they able to measure how long it takes a mil? They didn't have stopwatches and stuff like that. He said that they walked around the entire Harabayas, and the entire Harabayas was also from north to south, east, west, the whole thing.
Perimeter.
The perimeter was a full mil, so they had 3 mil altogether. And then they would announce, Raboisai, we're back, we're ready, we're here. And then the Kohen Gadol would know that he continues the Avodah. So therefore we have a machloikis between the first method of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda's method. Not only that these are two different methods, the Tanakhama said they did the flag waving, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just see when these Anshei Yerushalayim return and they wait another mil. But the Nafka Minna Utsa is, how far do we mean Achigia Sor Lamidbar? That according to the Tanakhama means the Tzuk to the cliff, which is 12 mil away. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, as long as it hit already, the Sor has already reached the Midbar, which the Midbar is 3 mil outside Yerushalayim, so it's 9 mil before you get to the Tzuk. That's already sufficient so that the Kohen Gadol can continue his Avod. Finally, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, they had another simon, and that's the simon that we had already yesterday and the day before in the Gemara, that Loshin shows the Hoyrus Haya Kosher al Pischoy Shal Hechel, Ukashagia Sodom Ichlar, Haya Haloshin Malbin. They didn't have to wait until they had the either the flag wavers or the people returning from their
Shvatzir,
from their escorting the Ish-Iti to the first Sukkah. But rather, just keep on looking at the top of the Pischoy Shel Hechel. Yes, we call it Pischoy Shel Ulam, but presumably that's the same, because Ulam is right before the Hechel. So he would watch and look at the Lashon Sahoyrus. As soon as it turned white, we know that the Sohar must have reached the Midbar. How do you know? Shenemer to the Basi, Yichat Hechem Kashanim. Kasheleg Yalbinim. Before everybody attacks.
Right.
Remember, we said in the Gemara yesterday that was initially Barishoina.
Right.
Later on, they removed it from the outside of the Pischoy Shel Hechel. They put it in the inside, and then everybody would still try to peer and look and see through the cracks. And then they took it away and they said, "Forget about it. We're not doing that simon anymore. But rather, we're going to go and take Loshen Sohayus on the horns, and the Ishiti is going to split it up. He's going to put one on the Sela." One over there. So this Rabbi Shmuel only helped in the earlier times, Barishayna. In later years, this didn't help, and that's why we had to have the other two methods. And that's why Rabbi said, right before Rabbi Shmuel, you have an Aleph and an Aleph. We have both the Bach and you have the Vilna Gaon. They both take it out of the Mishnah because they say it's inappropriate. The Mishnah is already talking about it in later times. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel should be placed in a Braisa and not be part of the Mishnah after all. Yes.
I know it was in the previous mission. What is the purpose of having evenly spaced huts on the way to the edge?
What's the purpose of having the sukkahs?
Yeah.
Sukkah. Evenly spaced?
Yeah, food.
Well, what was?
No, it's Yom Kippur. Don't be silly.
No, no.
You can't limit on air on how far you can walk, so you can't.
This is on your get off.
No, no, but he had a permission to walk as far as.
It's interesting though that we had a machlokas whether or not the place where the deshin head was sloped or not, but the place where the sawyer Amishtaleach was pushed had to be a sheer drop. It's interesting. We have a slope and we have a sheer drop for the two different destinations of these two originally almost twin, identical twin goats. Mm-hmm. You know, one is going into
pair them necessarily.
What?
Why are you pairing them?
Because they're paired. Bemara, Bekoma,
Bedamim.
They're here. One goes.
One gets shechted. One gets over.
Well, exactly. One gets shechted and fabrant, and one is pushed over. Right. But one goes straight down, and one goes in a slope.
Yes. Okay. It's a nice contrast.
It's a contrast.
Nice contrast. Beautiful. Good.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Another two questions. Two more.
Very basic questions.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. So I know this is really old news. One is shechted. One is sent over.
Right.
Which is the kapara? Which is the one that's...
You're asking an excellent question. And the answer is both of them are mechaper, but for different purposes. You have the soir, which is nasib b'fnim, which means that you shecht, and that is mitayer, or it's mechaper, on tumas mikdash v'kadoshim. Tumas mikdash means that if you have anybody in Klal Yisrael throughout the year who accidentally went into the Beis HaMikdash when he was tamei, and he didn't realize that he was tamei at that time. He didn't know he was a tamei at one time, a day before, a week before, a month before, but when he went to the Beis HaMikdash, he had a lapse of memory, and he did not remember that he was tamei. He went inside. He is over on this din of tumas mikdash. His also din is tumas mikdash v'kadoshev, which means that somebody during the year when he was tamei ate kodshim when he was tamei. Again, that's a Isser Sheyesh by Karis. If the person knows about it, he has to go and bring a Karim Chattas. Thank you. However, because of the fact that he doesn't remember, he doesn't know, then he waits for this. He doesn't wait. Klal Yisrael brings this special Soyer, which is going to be Mechaper, Hamikdash Kadoshav, until and unless he finds out. If he finds out later on, oi, what did I do? Then he has to still bring his Karim Chattas, and therefore it's Megan in the meantime. So that's one thing. That's the Sor Lashem. The Sor that goes, the Sor HaMishtaleh, that goes out to the Tzuk, to the cliff, that's on all Shar Averois. Any other Avei that a person did throughout the year, among Klal Yisrael, what's the din? That's Sarah Mishalech Umimachab. Yes.
So then the
on the first one, it could also be in general for all people who didn't realize they were Tameh. That's just for one person, right? It could be anybody.
Anybody in Klal Yisrael. Exactly. Now, when we say anybody in Klal Yisrael, so we have to make one major exception. That's the Kahanim. Kahanim of the part. But we don't need to get into that. You just want to know about the Sarah and Sarah. This is for Tzumim HaKadoshim, and this is for purposes of Baruch Hashem. I'm glad. And we continue on. So, very short Gemara after this. Mishnah, Omer Abaye. Since the second Mandiyama, which was Rabbi Yehuda, said that I have a Simen Gadol for the Kohen Gadol, he wants to be able to continue the Avodah, but he's got to wait for the Soyer in the Midbar to reach its destination. And remember, contributor doesn't have to reach its final ultimate destination. It's enough that it leaves 3 mil outside Yerushalayim, where it now finds itself, and the Ish-Iti finds himself at the beginning of the Midbar. So Amar Abaye, Shema Mina Beis Chidudai Bamidbar Kaima. Since the Mishnah uses this somewhat unusual expression, the Beis Chidudai, Beis Chidudai is referring to the Tzuk, referring to the cliff, but he doesn't have to reach all the way to the Beis Chidudai, he only has to reach the beginning of the Midbar, where there is the Beis Chidudai in that region, in that Midbar. So I see the Beis Chidudai had to be in a Midbar. So what does it come to tell us? The Kasab Rabbi Yehuda, Kimchigias, or the Midbar. Nas is mitzvosai, that for purposes of the Kohen Gadol to be able to continue his avodah, all you need to do is to get to the beginning of the Midbar. You don't have to get all the way to the Tzuk, and not like the Tanakh. Now, what avodah in particular are we talking about that the Kohen Gadol is about to commence, that he's waiting in with great anticipation, and he's very anxious to know that the Sor has reached the Midbar? So that's the beginning of the new Mishnah. Hadalach Sirishneis Irei Boloi Koyin Godel Likreis. The next avoida that he's going to do is he's going to be Korei Batorah from the Sefer Torah, as we're going to see momentarily. Is this really an avoida? The Gemara is going to deal with this as soon as we begin the Gemara. So the Koyin Godel Boloi Koyin Godel Likreis, now that he has completed everything that he's completed to date, at this point, he does a Kriya Sotayim. Imrat Zalikres for Big Day Butz, Kairi. As you know, until this point, he was wearing the Big Day Lavan, because all the avoidas that he was doing for the last hour or whatever has all been Big Day Lavan avoidas. The final avoida that we had until now, besides sending out the Sar Mishtalech with the Ish-Iti, was to go and take the Parvasar and to carve out, to cut out the Chalavim, to put on the base, on the Mizbeach, and everything all so far is all Big Day Lavan. Now, he's eventually going to change into Big Day Zohav, but at this point, he's been called upon to go and read from the Sefer Torah. So if he wants, he can retain the Big Day Lavan on him. The Imlavan, if he wants to, he can be Koyre B'Itzlis Lav Mishaloi. He can even put on a kittel, put on a white beged, which is not among the Big Day Lavan. We'll talk about that shortly in the Gemara. Now, there was a little bit of a pomp and ceremony in terms of the reading of the Sefer Torah. So Chazan HaKnesses, the Chazan over here doesn't mean the Baal Tefillah. The Chazan over here says Rashi means the Shamas. Shamas who's in charge of the Shul. Now, where is this Shul located? The Shul is located on the Har HaBayis next to the Azara. In other words, not only were the Shuls at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, it was actually a Shul on the Har HaBayis where they had the Sefer Torah. Presumably they had other needs, maybe they had some Siddurim. I don't know if they had Siddurim in those times. They certainly didn't have printed Siddurim, but whatever they had. So the Chazan HaKnesses, that Shabbos, Noitel Sefer Torah, he takes out the Sefer Torah. The Noitel L'Roish HaKnesses, and he gives it to the Roish. The Roish HaKnesses, says Rashi, means the Gabai, the person who decides who's going to dam for the Yomid, who's going to get Maftir, and who's going to get Shlishi, who's going to get Shishi. That's the Gabai. So the Shabbos gives it to the Gabai. The Roish HaKnesses, the Gabai, Noitel L'Skan. We've had the Skan Koyin God already before. In the times of Aharon, of course, that was the Lazar HaKoyin. And the Skan means the deputy Koyin God. So that is the Skan. The Skan knows the Kohen Gadol. So now the deputy gives it to Kohen Gadol, and now the Kohen Gadol Oymed or Mekabel, he receives the Torah, Sefer Torah. The Kohen, he begins to read. What does he read? He reads initially from two parshas. Number one, from the beginning of Achrei Mois, which is of course wholly appropriate. That's talking about the avoda that one does on Yom Kippur. So he reads that initial portion, and after that, he goes to Parshas Emor and he reads from the Ach Be'osar in Parshas Emor, which talks about kavanas that are brought on Yom Kippur and the dinim that apply to Yom Kippur. So that's what he reads initially. And then we go to the Sefer Torah, and then he closes up the Sefer Torah. And he puts it down. The Oymer, he says, Reboisa, Yoisim Mashi Karasi Lufanaicham, Kos of Kan. Even though I've only lain these two portions, the Achre Mois and Achba Osar and Parshas Emor, don't think that we're done. There's plenty more written in this title. Now, why does he make that statement? Rashi said, Bigmar Mefarish. I haven't seen the Gemara yet, but I'm assuming what the Gemara is going to say is, because we continue in the Mishnah, that after that he's not finished, but now he lanes what we would call Maftir. He reads, Uba Osar, Chaim B'Shapikudim is what we call Sefer B'Midbar. The reason why Sefer B'Midbar is called Chaim B'Shapikudim is because right at the very beginning of Parshas B'Midbar, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu to go and count the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. Bikudim means those that are counted. Chumash over here means the Chumash, what we call the Chumash. It's the fourth Chumash of the five Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So the Chumash HaBikudim is Parshas, is Sefer B'Midbar. And he reads Uve Osar from Parshas Pinchas, which is in Sefer B'Midbar. However, he doesn't take out a Sefer Torah like we would do today, take out two Svarim, one for the basic reading and the second one for the Haftorah reading, for the Maftir. But rather, Koyre Alpeh, he reads it by heart. Ah, since he's reading it by heart, some people might have assumed that the reason why he didn't continue reading from the first Sefer Torah, from Parshas Pinchas, maybe because it only ends after Parshas Emor, or maybe just goes through Sefer Vayikra, maybe doesn't contain Bamidbar. That's why he made the statement, Yois Mashikarasi Lefneichem Kosev Kan. When we finish laning, he goes and says Shmoyne Brachas, eight Brachas. What are those Brachas? Now we're just going to touch on them. The Gemara, of course, is going to go into it in greater detail. We'll just give you the explanations based on what Rashi says. He first says Al HaTorah. Al HaTorah says Rashi is the typical bracha that any of us would make after we get an aliyah in the Torah. Hashem Nosam Lano Torah Semes V'Chai Olam Nato V'Secheinu Brachat Hashem Noitzen HaTorah. He makes that bracha. Then he makes a bracha Al HaVoida. What's Al HaVoida, says Rashi? That's Ritzei, that we say in the Shemoyne Esrei, right before Moedim, Ritzei. The reason why it's called Avoida is because it says, Ritzei Mamri, so it's also say, Hoshiv is Avoida, Lidvir Beisecha, Hoshiv Esho Avoida, Lidvir Beisecha, we ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu, please return the Avoida to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Dvir. So, that's why it's called Avoida. Baloido, of course, is referring to Moedim and Achnu Loch. That's Hoido, you're being Moedim. V'al Mechilas HaOvoin, what exactly is Mechilas Ovoin? Says Rashi on the third wide line, Mecholam Riseinu B'yom HaKippur HaMazer, until Melech Moich V'Saleach L'Avoin Riseinu. In other words, part of the tefillah that we say in the Shemoneh Esrei on Yom Kippur, that's Mechilas Ovoin. V'al HaMikdosh B'fnei Atzmei, now he makes a special bracha on the Mikdosh. What is that? Rashi says he's mespal al hamikdash v'choisim baruch shebochar b'mikdash. It's a special bracha on the base of mikdash, and that's b'fnei atzvan. That's a separate bracha on its own. V'al yisro b'fnei atzvan. Now he's mespal for klal yisrael. V'al kahanim and the v'al yishalayim b'fnei atzvan for yishalayim. V'al kahanim b'fnei atzvan, a special bracha for the kahanim. V'al shar tefillah and all to the rest of the tefillah. Now what's the rest of the tefillah? Says Rashi. Mefarish b'gemara. We'll see Mitchem tomorrow, the next day, and tomorrow with the Shara Tzfilas. Says now the Mishnah, Horoya Oyin Koyin Godol Kishu Koyre, if anybody is present and sees the Koyin Godol whilst he's reading from the Sefer Torah, Ein Horoya Par Vesor Hanisrafim. He is not present at the time where the Par Vesor are being burnt. Horoya Par Vesor Hanisrafim. Those that see the Par Vesor as they're being burnt, Ein Horoya Koyin Godol Kishu Koyre. He doesn't see the Koyin Godol when he's reading. V'loimim Mishen Roshoy. Not that there's anything prohibited about being present at the two locations. Here it's a shavak achas, but there's a slightly different gear to the Masoris Hashas, and that is hoisenasis keachas. Hoisenasis keachas means that they're both being performed simultaneously, because although the Kohen Gadol had to wait for the Sor HaMishtaleach to reach either 3 mil or 12 mil, he didn't have to wait for the burning of the Par Vesor. So the Par Vesor people who are busy burning it outside the Chutz L'Sholesh Machnas, which we learned about before, that was taking place at the time that the Kohen Gadol was reading. And therefore, you couldn't be present at both at the same time, because Kohen God was doing his thing and they're doing their thing at the same time. Yes.
Don't we have a principle that Darvish Bechav Asur Likos Baal Peh? So how can he be reading?
Maybe more, we'll deal with that. Mitchum, we'll get to it. We'll see. Very good question.
Yeah, but these brothers are brothers the Pavera, so he makes each one, he says what they.
Maybe more, we'll discuss that as well. It doesn't tell us how the bracha begins. We know, for instance, Ritzei doesn't start with a bracha, and Moedim doesn't start with a bracha, because just like in Shemoneh Esrei, we only have to start with one bracha at the beginning, and that goes on all of them. And that's why you don't have to make 19 separate brachas. You make the Seif bracha, but you don't make the beginning brachas. It's all brachas smuchas chavita. So, at the very least, those first two are brachas smuchas chavita. On the others, I don't know. Maybe the Gemara will address it. Maybe the Gemara won't. We'll see, Mitch. Back to the Gemara. We said about the Kohen Gadol that if, when he's laning, he could either continue wearing the big day lavan, or he could take them off and put on the equivalent of a kittel. As Mikhtani, it's still this lavan mishalai mechlal the kriya lav avoyde. Obviously, it's not an avoyde, because if it would be an avoyde, he has to wear it. Mechoshe begadol. Uktani, imratza likrish big day butz koire. But if he wants to continue wearing the big day lavan, he can. Shabbos mino, the choreya can bring a raya from our Mishnah to a shaila that the Gemara is going to pose in another line, whether big day kuhuna nitnu lihanis behen or not. We know that the Kohen Gadol had to put on the, not the Kohen Gadol, any Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedget, and they put on the begun, they're doing it for the avoider. The question is, are they allowed to all to have hanor? So what do you mean? If they're wearing it, by definition, they're going to have hanor, because Baruch Hashem is protecting their flesh from the, at least partially, from the climate, from the weather. But the Gemara means to say, as we'll see in another moment, what happens after they finish doing the avoida? Could they eat with the big day kahuna on? Could they sleep with the big day kahuna on? Could they take a walk, a spatzir, with the big day kahuna on? That's going to be a shaila. By the fact that we say that he's allowed to go and read from the Sefer Torah, and obviously it's not a full-fledged avoida because he's able to go and wear his kittel if he wants to. If a chayra ride the big day kahuna, nitnu lihonis behan, we can be poshed our shaila that yes, they can use it for other activities, not only for strict avoida. Maybe legabi, whether they're allowed to use it for total non-avoida purposes, that is still an akasha, or that's still a shaila up in the air. That we cannot be partial. But this kriya is somewhat in between. It's not a full-fledged avoida, because if it would be, he wouldn't be able to wear the kippel, as Barry says it would be a mechus begot. On the other hand, the fact that he wears it doesn't mean to say that you're allowed to have hanor and do extracurricular activities whilst you're wearing the big tikkun. Since this is a kriya, which is a Torah chavoyda, that's part of that. How do we know that there's in fact a din of kriya whatsoever? Rashi says we learn it from the parsha Miluim, where early on in Daf Hei, we learn that by the Miluim, the Kohen Gadol had to go and read from the Sefer, from the parshias that deal with the dinim of the Malur. So we learn from there. Here too is a din of special kriya. As Dr. Yomari adds, if that's the case, it's a tzoyer chavoydehi. It's a tzoyer chavoydehi. And that's why you cannot be poishid ar shayt. Says Yomari Moylan, we want to ask a shayt. Big de kuhuna nitlu lihanis ben, oi loin nitlu lihan ben. Can you have a no when you're wearing the big de kuhuna? It's Toshima. Loi ho yishayn of a big de kuhidish. You couldn't go and sleep with a big de kuhidish. Why not sleep? So if you want, I'm being medayik, shina hu deloy hamechel achli. Don't sleep with them, but you're allowed to eat whilst you're wearing the big day kodesh. So you're wondering, if you're allowed to eat, why can't you sleep with them? So the bottom Rashi says, shina hu deloy shema yofiach. We're afraid that whilst the person is sleeping, he might let out some air, which would not be respectful to the big day kahuna. Therefore, don't sleep in that. But other things like eating, that's okay. Oh, is the chayr araya that you're allowed to have anor from the big dekunet, and not just for doing avoida, but even for eating the mushroom? So you want the ochnish karai, because dumishani achila the tzorech avoidi. Achila is also tzorech avoidi. Keep standing, it says in the braisa. For ochlu oisamashe kuper behem. Mulamisha kehanim oichlu mabalim eskapit. So when they're eating, they're also doing ashtikal avoida. Not avoida with capital ayin, but a small ayin. So that's why they're allowed to go and wear the begotten. But let's go back to the same diuk again. They couldn't sleep. So make the same deer. It sounds like that after they finished a long day of working in the base of Megiddo, they can go for a shpatzir wearing their big day kahuna. So you see that they're allowed to have hanoah from the big day kahuna. So you want, no. It could be that they couldn't even do hilach. So why does the Braisa talk about loy yishenim? Save it srichale to tell you, although they could not sleep with it, but poishin umekaplan umenichin tachas Hashem, they can go and take the big dekuna, fold it up nicely, and put it under their heads like a pillow. And that's why we're talking about shina, not about hilach, but the same thing applies. You couldn't sleep it, you couldn't sleep wearing them, you couldn't walk wearing them, you could only put it under your head. So Frank Gemara, but push them a couple of minichan oisitach l'shem shamas mino l'choyra have a raya from that the big dekuna nitnu lihonisban, because you're putting it under your head, you're having an oh, it's a pillow. Amra papa l'itema tachos l'shem el eima k'neged r'sheyen, go and say not underneath the head but next to the head. What is the chiddush of putting it next to the head? In other words, the kohen is now resting for the afternoon, for the evening, whatever. He's taking off his begadim, he's folding it up next to his head. So kadaita chamina, maybe that would also be a problem of shema yafiach, that maybe there'll be some air. No, that's not a problem. It's only a problem if he's wearing it, not if he's putting it on the side. So the Baal, we have not been poshed our shayla yet. Mentioned to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful, beautiful Shabbos.